Whose life has the Holy Spirit just been rocking here lately? Man, I'm telling you, I'm kind of like, Lord, you know, I know that you had me purchase new work boots with steel toes last week, but man, I didn't know I was supposed to wear them 24/7. You know, it's just like, golly, the Holy Spirit's just been rocking me, and it's been so beautiful to see. And let me tell you something, folks, transformation is not easy. Transformation is not easy. And if you, and as I've told you, there's a battle going on within the kingdom of God. And the battle is between the called and the chosen. That's what's going on. And so let me, I want you to hear these words. So there is a centrifuge occurring. What does a centrifuge do? A centrifuge, it separates. It separates, okay? So the centrifuge, it separates, but there's also, but then there's also a synergy that's occurring. And what happens is when synergy happens, it's like Matt is strong and Tim is strong, but when we come together, we're stronger together. So as this synergy occurs, and so as this civil war is going on within the kingdom of God, you have a choice. You can either be a part of the called, which there's nothing wrong with that because you're going to heaven, or you can be a part of the chosen, but being a part of the chosen requires a sacrificial life. It requires a life that is going to say, I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to allow Jesus Christ to live through me. As opposed to us loving people, we then become love because that's what Jesus was. He was love. Yes, he did love people, but he was love. And so everything he did, every step he took, every word he said, every move he made was in alignment with a Father that said, love these people, sacrifice yourself. And so as I'm talking about this, you have to understand that you, as a follower of Christ, you are his temple to reside in. Okay? And so, are you listening? So, are you treating your temple accordingly? Are you doing what it takes to properly posture yourself before the Father so he has a wonderful place to reside? Your pastor needs some work. Does anybody else need any work? Yeah, hey, guess what, folks? We have not arrived. And I see maturing going on in so many of you. I see transformations. I'm hearing story after story of us immediately identifying what is not of God on a daily basis. I won't take their testimony, but let me tell you something. It's pretty cool to see when people can immediately identify when they have stepped out of line with the Father. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. But this is what we need to realize. As we read these scriptures, Paul is trying to make a few key points so that we may glorify God. But the problem with the world, and many times us, we are so focused on ourselves and glorifying ourselves and fulfilling what we want rather than make the sacrifice that we need to make and die to ourselves. It's all about us. So if you're not already there, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 20. We're going to continue in our teaching series, The Playbook. We are talking through 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's probably going to take us all of 2025, and that's okay. Because guess what? For me to digest this, I got to take it in small bites. So if I'm too slow for you, sorry. But we're going to walk together, and I'm your pastor, so there you go. But, I mean, this is the deal. So it just so happens, I just want to tell you this quick little story. So, ever since, what is it, Ray, November? Ever since November, I've been going to Ray and Katie's house, and we've been doing discipleship with the whole entire family. And, I've got 14 foundational lessons that we're going to go through. We're on lesson 4, and we started in November. So we're just letting the Holy Spirit do it. But hey, Ray, are we not getting our toes stepped on every week? Every week. And Ray, he's so kind, he just grins. He goes, yeah, this is fun. And you know, some of it is and some not so much. But hey, that is what it's about. Your Father wants you to grow. Your Father wants you to grow. And most times correction doesn't feel good. But it's for the betterment of us. So this is what it says, starting in verse 12. It says, now I want you to listen. And young people, I want you to listen. Because I don't want you to take this verse out of context. Okay? It says, all things are lawful for me. So this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth, okay? So he's like, all things are lawful for me. And then Jimmy says, yes, all things are lawful for me. Not really. Jimmy didn't say that. But all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All right. Take a deep breath. Digest that just a little bit. Verse 13. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise up by His power. Are we tracking? Okay. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Okay, harlot's kind of an old word. For you young people, it means prostitute or whore. Yeah, oh. Yeah, yeah. Hey, and this is the deal. This is the deal. What the world wants you to think, that we just love everybody and we just do whatever we want to show love and all this kind of crap. Let me tell you, folks, the enemy will twist what the scriptures say. But this is what Paul says. He goes, certainly not. Certainly not. Verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord in one spirit with him, flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own. Verse 20. I like to call this the home run verse. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So good. So good. So powerful. So in verse 12 and 13, I believe that what Paul is doing is bringing some clarity and understanding to what's going on. Remember, what's going on in the church in Corinth is there has been some false teaching going on. And Paul has had to write this letter, and this letter is a letter of correction. Now, understand that this, we do not know what the first letter said. This is actually the second letter, and there is a third letter that we will study later on. But this is a second letter because he makes reference to the first letter up in chapter 5. Remember that? Does everybody remember that? Okay. So he's called. Now, if Ray gives me a call and says, hey, Matt, we need to talk. I've got two options. I've got two things to think about. Oh, crud, what did I do wrong? Or, what did he do wrong? And so what happens is then we have this conversation. And so what Paul is doing, he's saying, hey, I love you so much. I don't want you to go down this bad path. I'm going to bring some correction into the house. And the problem with most churches that you see around is we have become complacent and we have become, we've kind of turned our head to sin. And we just kind of like, okay, anything goes as long as you love God. And folks, that's not the gospel. You see, the problem is, and I told you this last week, but the churches, for the most part, have turned the gospel into a people-focused gospel and not a Christ-focused gospel. The gospel of Christ is supposed to be preached because Christ is the only one that can bring transformation. You see, the problem with the gospel being about people is the gospel will change with people. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has said is truth. This is not my opinion. This is the word of God. So if you want to get feisty about where you're at, yes, ma'am, question. Okay, statement. Did y'all hear that? Hold up. How old are you, Jess? Did you like that? You know, you realize that Jess didn't really say that, don't you? That was the Holy Spirit wanting to drive home a point. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So good. You're. Thank you, Lord. Jess, look at me. Thank you for being obedient and brave. Some of you adults need to just take a lesson from this young lady, please. Yeah. Anyway. So if you look at verse 12, it says, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not. I will not be brought under the power of anything. So what he's saying is I can do whatever I choose to do, but if anything that I'm doing brings me under bondage, then that is not a good thing. Also, over in Romans, it talks about if anything that you do becomes a stumbling block to somebody else, it is better for you to have a millstone around your neck and sunk to the deepest, darkest parts of the ocean. If you are becoming a stumbling block to anybody, it doesn't matter how you feel about something. It doesn't matter what your opinion about something. You need to take everything to the heart of Jesus and ask him, should I be saying this? Should I be doing this? I don't care about your feelings. I care about your soul. And you, I mean, we've got young children in this room, young people that are watching you. Watch what you say, watch what you do. Adults, there are youth watching you. There's children watching you. Watch what you do. You can say anything you want, but it's not always profitable. Don't walk around in arrogance and pride and think that everything that you say carries weight. It will lead you. It will lead people somewhere. The question is, where? Is it going to lead them to the foot of the cross, or is it going to lead them to hell? You better be careful what you say. You better be careful how you act. And I'm going to tell you something. There needs to be some consistency in the house. You need to get your little feelings off your shoulders, and you need to step up to the plate, and you need to put your feet to what God has called you to do, as opposed to sitting there and thinking this is a golden corral. You can just come in here, get whatever you want, and then leave. This is the full gospel. This is not take it or leave it gospel. The mentality that you, this easy believism is a doctrine of demons. We will be held accountable for what we do, what we say, how we lead. I want to tell y'all something real quick. This is, and so I get a text from Brad last night. And he's like, "Hey, Matt, we're not going to be here next Sunday. We're going to go see our kids." I said, "Great. That is awesome." And Randy texted me a few texts later and said, "I'm sorry it was so late." I'm like, "Man, that is not late. Late would be like Saturday night at midnight that you're not going to be here on Sunday morning." And I said, but this is what I told them. Your first ministry is to your family. So them going and seeing Freddie and Destiny is the most godly thing that they can do. Because let me tell you something, you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable. And so let me tell you something. There, I'm so glad that you're here. Don't misunderstand me. I'm glad that you're here. I want you to be here. But let me tell you something. Don't let this meeting get in the way of your ministry. Don't let this gathering get in the way of what God wants you to do. You will have full support of your pastor to walk into what God has called you to do. I will walk alongside you. If I need to help you financially, I will. I will pray for you. I will equip you. Whatever needs to happen for you to fulfill what God wants you to do, that's what you need to do. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible does say, do not forsake the assembling of believers together. We should come together and be encouraged and lifted up. But this should be more like a pep rally as opposed to just where you get your spiritual meat. You should be digging into the Word and growing on your own. And if you don't know how to do that, please ask. Because I'll help you. Tim will help you. Randy will help you. Brad will help you. Christy will help you. I promise. We will help you. And there's other people that are being trained, and they're going to be able to help you as well. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And then it says in verse 13, it says, foods for the stomach and the stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both in both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, what is the purpose of food? To nurture. What is the purpose of the stomach? To digest. So you can nourish it, right? Now, if there wasn't a stomach, would there be a need for food? If there was no food, would there be a need for a stomach? They're both connected. One way, I mean, so this is the deal. What are you, do you realize what you put in is directly connected to what you put out? The Word says, by their fruit you will know them. Sit back and watch people and they'll tell you exactly where they stand with the Lord. They will show you their commitment to the Lord by the way they live their life. A lot of people don't like this when I say it. They feel like I'm getting in on their personal space. But you don't have to show me. Just do a personal evaluation. If you want to know where your affections lie, look at your checkbook. I'm not saying another word about that. But this is the thing. Then the second part of verse 13, it says, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So the Lord, He doesn't necessarily need you, but He desires you. There's a difference. He's going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish with or without you, but He wants you to come alongside. Because He's gifted you and equipped you and anointed you for a purpose and a reason. And you matter in the kingdom. You matter. All right. On to verse 14. It says, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Who thinks this verse is interesting? Let's read it again. Let's just read it again. Let's slow down. Everybody take a deep breath in and just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Reveal to me what this verse means to me. Verse 14, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. There's great significance in this verse, guys. You need to catch this like both hands catch it and hold it close. Because this is going to get you through the tough stuff. This right here. All right. So listen. His power. Why? What is Paul trying to say? Well, look. Well, here's a verse for you over in Romans chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. I mean, 5 and 8. It says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. So you were once dead in your sin, and because of Christ, you now are alive. Okay? So you went from death to life. Now, Sonia sent me a video this week, and it was really cool. So, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. I never heard it explained this way, but it was like a light bulb. It was really cool. So, has everybody seen a baseball glove before, right? Okay, so you've seen a baseball glove. So this is the deal. The baseball glove was made in the image of a hand, right? Okay, so, but when the hand is not in the glove, what does the glove do? Nothing. Just lays there. But when the one that it was made in the image of goes into it, it then becomes functional. You see, you were made in the image of God. But until He comes into your life, you're dead. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That's so cool. And this is what I see. I see people that are alive. Now, this is the thing. Some of you don't actually believe that, unfortunately. But it says this, verse 8 of chapter 6. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Really good stuff. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. It says in His words that there are greater things coming. It also says in His Word, do you realize what the Word says? The Word says that they identify what they call elementary doctrines of the faith. You know what the elementary doctrines of the faith are? Raising the dead? That's considered an elementary doctrine. How many of you in this room have raised the dead? You have, Shane? Well, good for you. I'm glad Shane has raised somebody from the dead. But I have not. I have actually seen that happen, but I was not a part of it. I was praying around them, but a couple of months ago, it actually happened up in Dumas, Texas. Someone died, and they prayed for them, and they came back to life. It's pretty impressive, pretty awesome. Actually, it happened in a ministry that we're connected to, so it's pretty cool. But this is the deal. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. The question that I have for you is, why aren't you functioning in those signs, wonders, and miracles? Well, there can be several reasons. One, you didn't know that you could, and that's what we're here for. Number two, you know about Christ, but you don't know Christ. Or number three, you are living in habitual or known sin. And the Holy Spirit is just waiting on you to repent and get back in line with Him. I mean, interesting how the Lord works. Verse 15, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot?" Certainly not. So it matters the things that you're doing and who you're doing things with. It matters. And the reality is we should love everyone, but we need to be cautious who we do things with. And because this is the deal, through who we're with, we could be a stumbling block to somebody else. And you can be influenced by what they say and what they do. I mean, you know, I don't think that anyone automatically just goes and steals a car. They start out doing little stuff like stealing bubble gum and then batteries and then, you know, something else. It just kind of builds. You don't go from being, you know, just a... You don't go from nothing to everything. I mean, it's a progression. Sin is a progression. You get comfortable with your sin, and the next thing you know, you're living in the middle of sin, and you're wallowing in that sin. You know, so you have to answer the question, are you members of Christ, number one? Okay, are you a part of the body of Christ, followers of Christ? And then he says, if you are, why are you doing things with harlots? Why are you participating with them? Probably because you're selfish and you want to fulfill your own desires and you think if it feels good, it's okay, I'll repent later. I've got time. You have no promise of tomorrow. And so you need to get that out of your mind. As far as the young people go, you need to listen to us because we don't want you to go through what we've gone through. You just don't. It really stinks and life will be so much better if you don't have to lose everything twice and start over. I mean, it's really good if you don't have to go to jail or rehab. That's awesome. I promise you, it's no fun. I mean, and jail cell floors are really cold. I don't know that from experience. Yes, I do. Experience will tell me that they're cold and clammy and nasty, and you don't want to go there. I mean, there could be people to stand up in this room and say that because they've made choices, because they were motivated by being accepted and loved, they made choices, and because of those choices, they found themselves in a situation that they wouldn't want to be in. You know, so the thing is specifically for the young ladies, just because somebody tells you they love you, that don't mean they love you. That means they want to use you. And they're not in love with you, they're in lust with you, and they want to have sex with you. And they want to use you until they don't want to use you anymore, and then you're heartbroken and they're on to the next person. So, young people, I know I'm talking a little direct to you right now, but honestly, that's probably what you need to hear. Everybody has sterilized church. You hear so much crap during the week. Why should anything I say shock you? I mean, the some of the music you listen to, garbage. The things that you read, garbage. The things that you watch, garbage. And you think that if I say pissed off in a pulpit, you're oh my gosh, our pastor said pissed. I mean, come on. Get over it. Get over it. Tim, how human is Matt? Tim's like, yeah, he's pretty human. Yes, but the thing is young people, quit listening to whatever people say because they're using selfish motivations to manipulate you and get you to do things that you shouldn't be doing. And just because someone says that they love you and you feel something, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're connected to them. It just means that you have a connection. So. I've got connections with lots of people, but I don't bet them. Did you like that, Amy? That was an out loud laugh from Amy. But folks, we've got to realize what we're doing, and we've got to pay attention. It matters. It matters. Verse 16. Out loud laugh. That was good. All right. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one. He is actually making reference to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. So adults, let me just ask you, you've all been through some stuff, and unfortunately most of us have done things outside of the marriage that we should not have done. Okay, so guess what? When you had sex with that other person outside of the marriage, you came in agreement with them. And so you are now spiritually connected to them. My question is have you broken that by the power of Jesus? Have you broken that bond? Have you gone to the Father and have you said, Lord, I need you to help me break this? If there's anybody in the room, and there's no judgment, guys, I'm telling you, there's absolutely no judgment. But if you are in a relationship with someone and you are not married and you are having sex, you are in sin. And the Holy Spirit is not going to bless you. Now, he's just going to sit there and wait on you because he loves you. But he wants you to repent. He wants you to come into an agreement with him. He wants you to break those bonds. Now, are you so selfish that you're willing to not go to heaven? You just got to get your rocks off because you want to, and you're like, I'll deal with God later. Folks, we got to get out of that mindset of I've got time. We don't know the hour nor the time that he's coming. So Paul is basically calling these people out and saying, listen, you've got to quit thinking that this is just something that you do because it's connecting. You become one with that person when you have relations with them. And have you repented and come out of agreement with them? It's really important. Really important. Probably because it's one of the reasons that some of you are struggling with your thought life and some of the dreams that you're having. That's the reason that they're so vile and nasty, is because you're still in agreement with that person. And if you want that to stop, bring it before the Father. He can take care of it. Guess what? When he was on the cross and he spread out his arms and he shed that blood and he said, it is finished, it was finished for that too. Okay? So verse 17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you're in one spirit with the Lord, you're in agreement with him. This is what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. This is such powerful, great verses. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so that right there is a picture of you come into agreement and you have life. But the only way you can truly have life in Christ is if you have died to yourself and you've laid those things down and you have allowed Christ to manifest himself in and through you, and you then in turn show the love of Christ to the world. What does the Bible say? For thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you are supposed to bring heaven to earth. There's everything right with us being motivated about things of heaven, but we should be transformed so we can live here on earth. Y'all get what I'm saying? So as As some of you are uncomfortable with some of the things that we're talking about this morning, that's just the Holy Spirit just saying, listen, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? And thank you for paying attention, because this is important stuff. This is really, and guess what? The Father wants you to walk in victory. That abundant Christian living is such a great place to be. I am, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, Tim confirmed, you heard Tim confirm that Matt is human. But I'm the best version of Matt there's ever been. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm filled with the Spirit. I've got joy. I've got a pep in my step. And sometimes I can barely control. Like, I just want to, like, bust out and do, like, some, and it would be ugly, but sometimes I just want to dance. I can't, but I just want to dance. And sometimes I want to jump off the stage and just run real hard, but I'd probably trip and fall. But whatever. I just get so excited, I can't hardly contain myself. When I was 16, I was a really big guy. 6 foot tall, 115 pounds. I mean, let me tell you, I was a beam pole. And I got the fitted hats, and my head was so big, 6 7/8. That's how big my head was. I mean, little bitty. I mean, I tried to put that hat on a couple of days ago, and it just sits on the top of my head. I guess my head has gotten fat. But anyway, whatever the case may be. But this is the deal. You know what I had put on the back of it? Odd for God, because I was ever like, that dude is weird, and confirmed. But it's all because of Jesus. I mean, I can't help it. He has saved me. He has set me free. I don't depend upon the love and affection of, or the lust and affection of women anymore. I don't depend upon alcohol anymore. I don't depend upon porn anymore. I don't depend upon the acceptance and love from you. Don't get me wrong. I love you, and I'm so glad that some of you are my friends, and I'm growing to be friends with more of you. But let me tell you something. If for some strange reason Tim gets mad at me and quits liking me, I'm going to be sad because I lose a friend. But as far as what I do, it doesn't rise and fall upon Tim's opinion of me, because I'm going to be walking in obedience to the Father. And that's what you need to do. There's some good reasons why people quit coming to this church. Because Matt gets on their nerves and they don't like the way he preaches. That's okay. There's some people that think that I preach a false gospel. No, I preach a straight up gospel up in your face. And they felt convicted, so they chose not to come anymore. Or they didn't want to be corrected. And when they were corrected, they didn't like being corrected because they're always right. And they're carrying that Jezebel spirit with them and they want to be in control. Or some of them just felt so, oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that. So that Leviathan spirit comes in and constricts them so that they cannot hear clearly or see clearly. But guess what? God's bringing the right people here to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. That's what's happening. That's a good thing. Now, verse 18. We're getting there, guys. We're getting there. Verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. You know why you sin against your own body? Because you become in agreement. And what does the scripture say? You become one with that person when that sexual encounter occurred. So there's been a transference and a coming to an agreement with. So you're actually sinning against your own body, which is the temple of God. Well, do you really want God to walk into your temple and see some lewd act occurring on his altar? No. I mean, this is what it says in Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. Do not come into obedience with your lust. Because you were born in the flesh, you were born a sinful person, and so you're naturally going to sin. So the thing, you came out, you had to be taught to do right. So you're naturally going to want what you want because of your fallen sin nature. But guess what? You don't have to allow that to happen, because once you die to yourself, you then let Christ live through you. You can walk around and not walk in offense all the time. You don't have to carry the guilt, the shame. You don't have to carry envy. You don't have to carry jealousy, because if you die to yourself, it's no longer about you and it's all about Him. I'm telling you, a couple of weeks ago, I had somebody say something really ugly and nasty about me. And I had two choices. Let the old Matt come out and me go punch him in the face. Or me just like, you know what, I'm not dealing with that person. I'm dealing with the spirit in that person. Understand, the enemy is evil. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's going to do whatever he can to discourage you and to hold you back from what he wants you to do. So he wants to kill your faith, he wants to destroy your faith, and he wants to steal any hope that you had. How many of y'all think he's good at it? Well, yeah, he's good at it. But you know what? That's why we mature. So that there comes a point when we just penetrate all of those things because we don't walk in offense. Amen? But let me tell you something. As far as coming into agreement, let me tell you this. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable among all. Very clearly, what is marriage between a man and a woman? Period. I don't care how you feel about that. That's the way it is. So, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That's His word. I mean, it is what it is, folks. And so if you found yourself involved in that, this is what it looks like. You repent and move forward. God is so big and huge and powerful, but He will not, cannot change the past. All He can do is heal us today so that we can make positive steps for Him from this point forward. There's certain things that you will never know about Matt Jones, but let me just tell you, nothing shocks me, and I've done almost everything once, most things twice, most things three times on Sunday. I've had to do a lot of repenting. I've had a lot of refining going on. And for those of you like Miss Terry and Katie and the kids and Randy and Brad, I'm a different pastor than I was 7 or 8 years ago. Thank God. Kayla, no, Kayla. Can't forget Kayla. She's always been there too. I mean, I didn't mean to overlook, but. Yeah, there's been a lot of going on. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? There's somebody else that has your mortgage, and He has paid it in full. All you have to do is just walk into agreement with that. Because I will state this, I will stand on this, I feel I can back this up with Scripture. God is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force His way into your life, and He's not going to make you do anything or see anything the way He wants you to. He wants you to come to Him free, willfully. And then once you come before Him and say, Daddy, I need you, He's ready to pick you up. I mean, nobody wants to see Matt naked. Nobody. Not even Matt. But let me tell you something. The way that we come before the Father boldly and we strip everything away and in humility say, Father, I'm naked before You. Clothe me in what You want me to be. Y'all feel that? Some of you walk around with a cloak of guilt and shame, and you think you're unworthy to receive. Sonia, is it okay if I share with what happened Wednesday night? Is it okay? All right. I wanted to get permission first. So as we were praying for the hole in Sonia's heart to heal up, which God did, and we knew He was going to, the Holy Spirit told me, and I seldom do this. In fact, if Brad and Randy would not have been there, I would not have done this. I wanted that there needed to be someone there because for accountability, right? But the Holy Spirit told me to put my hands on the back of Sonia's neck, like on the back of it. And so I asked her permission, and she said yes. And by the way, when you do pray for some people, ask for permission because, you know, things have happened in people's lives, okay? And we need to respect that. But I did, and this is what the Holy Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit told me because of Sonia's insecurities, she has felt unworthy to receive the healing that God wants for her. And I prayed that, and I said, that spirit of insecurity and doubt be gone. And let me tell you what happened is her neck literally lifted up. And she had this sigh of relief. And then you felt the knots in her neck just go away. And she received because she, right then and there, said yes to the fact that she is worthy. Guess what? You are worthy. You're worthy. And then the home run verse, baby. Woo! For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. And what was that price? Yeah, the blood of Jesus, which has more value than we can fathom. That's how much He loved you. And when He said on the cross, "It is finished," that means He accomplished it all. Covers it all. Woo! All of it. All of it. All of it. Yes. Yeah. I can't remember all of it, but I do, and I'll remember it by next week. But anyway, but this is the deal. This is the deal. He accomplished it all. It was finished. It was finished on the cross. It was accomplished on the cross. So if you need Jesus as your Savior, please come up. We'll lead you to Jesus. If you need healing for anything, God wants to heal you. If you have felt like something pressing down on you where you can't breathe, if you have felt like sickness has just ravaged your life, if your finances are all kind of jacked up, if your thought life is not where it needs to be, if you just have some stinking thinking going on, if you have pride, envy, jealousy, I'm telling you, those are all spirits that need to be dealt with today. And so I want you to come up and allow us to pray for you. And thank you for being here this morning. Remember, your body is the temple of God, and are you treating it right? And so if you've come into agreement with some things that you should not have come into agreement with, you need to come up here, and we need to break that in the name of Jesus. Some of you have got some generational curses going on in your family. Seems like you keep revisiting the same stuff over and over and over again. Hey, we need to break that off. There is no reason for you to live in bondage. And if you have pain right now, the question that was asked to me last Sunday night, he said, "Do you have pain?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, that's just the way it is." He goes, "Why do you want to live that way? Don't you want the pain to go away?" I was like, "Well, yeah." He said, He said, well, can I pray that God heals your shoulder? I said, yes. He said, Lord, heal his shoulder. That's all he did. And I didn't feel no electricity. I didn't feel no heat. I didn't feel anything. But then the next day at 1:37 in the afternoon, I was like, wait a minute. My shoulder doesn't hurt. My shoulder started hurting in 1993 when I was pitching for Wayland Baptist University. I tore my rotator cuff up at Abilene pitching against Hardin-Simmons, and it was healed instantly. Hey, if the Lord hits you with heat and the Lord puts warm fuzzies down you, okay, fine. But if you walk up here and get prayer, you don't feel anything, you receive it by faith. And then you walk in that. So guess what? You are healed because it was accomplished on the cross. We need to come boldly before the Father and embrace what He has for us. So, as Brother Chris said a couple of weeks ago, he said, come get you some of that good God stuff. Come on up here and get it. Get it. Brother, if you'll start time of commitment music, anybody that needs prayer, please come up. Randy will be up here to receive you. Tim will be up here to receive you. If more people come up, Amy and Ray and Katie, can y'all help? Like I said, everybody stand up. Let me pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for what you're doing, what you've done, what you're going to do, Lord. I thank you for the people in this room. The right people were here this morning. The right people got what they needed to get. And Father, may we cut all the crap away and just allow you to work. May our insecurities be laid down. May our doubts be laid down. May our fears be laid down. May our hurt be laid down. May our theology be laid down. May our dogma be laid down. May we just focus on you and you alone and know that you are the giver of all good things. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nissi. You are Yahweh. Thank you, Jesus. For the one in the room, there may be more, but for the one in the room that just has like this crick in their neck where they just feel like that, man, I almost didn't come this morning because my neck hurts so bad, you need to come up and get healed. Let's just get that taken care of right now. For the ones in the room that are struggling with relationships with your adult children, God wants to restore that. You have said some things and they have said some things that should not have been said, and the enemy has used that to put a wedge in your family. May you be bold enough and humble enough to admit your wrong in that situation right now. To the one in the room that is handicapped by your anxiety and your fear about almost everything, whether it be germs, you have a fear of germs. You also have doubt if you can do certain things because you have identified yourself as a certain way. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Thank you, Jesus. I just want everybody just to begin to thank Jesus for what He's doing. Just thank Him. Just say, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Just begin praying out loud to Him right now. Lord, give people the courage to come up and receive what you have for them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and turn the music up a little bit, Will. Thank you. Y'all come on up and receive what God has for you. Thank you.